2½. An article in the New Orleans Times Democrat, based upon reports of able engineers, states that the river annually empties 406 million tons of mud into the Gulf of Mexico, which brings to mind Captain Marryat's rude name for the Mississippi, the Great Sewer. This mud, solidified, would make a mass a mile square and 241 feet high. The mud deposit gradually extends to the land, but only gradually. It has extended it not quite a third of a mile in the 200 years which have elapsed since the river took its place in history. The belief of the scientific people is that the mouth used to be at Baton Rouge, where the hills cease, and that the 200 miles of land between there and the Gulf was built by the river. This gives us the age of that piece of country without any trouble at all. 120,000 years. Yet, it is much the youthfulest batch of country that lies around there anywhere. The Mississippi is remarkable in still another way, its disposition to make prodigious jumps by cutting through narrow necks of land and thus straightening and shortening itself. More than once, it has shortened itself 30 miles at a single jump. These cutoffs have had curious effects. They have thrown several river towns out into the rural districts and built up sandbars and forests in front of them. The town of Delta used to be 3 miles below Vicksburg. A recent cutoff has radically changed the position, and Delta is now 2 miles above Vicksburg. Both of these river towns have been retired to the country by that cutoff. A cutoff plays havoc with boundary lines and jurisdictions. For instance, a man is living in the state of Mississippi today. A cutoff occurs tonight, and tomorrow the man finds himself and his land over on the other side of the river, within the boundaries and subject to the laws of the state of Louisiana. Such a thing, happening in the upper river in the old times, could have transferred a slave from Missouri to Illinois and made a free man of him. The Mississippi does not alter its locality by cutoffs alone. It is always changing its habitat bodily, is always moving bodily sidewise. At hard times, Louisiana, the river is 2 miles west of the region it used to occupy. As a result, the original site of that settlement is not now in Louisiana at all, but on the other side of the river in the state of Mississippi. Nearly the whole of that 1,300 miles of old Mississippi River, which La Salle floated down in his canoe 200 years ago, is good, solid, dry ground now. The river lies to the right of it in places, and to the left of it in other places. Although the Mississippi's mud builds land but slowly, down at the mouth where the Gulf's billows interfere with its work, it builds fast enough in better protected regions higher up. For instance, Prophet's Island contained 1,500 acres of land 30 years ago. Since then, the river has added 700 acres to it. But enough of these examples of the mighty stream's eccentricities for the present. I will give a few more of them further along in the book. Let us drop the Mississippi's physical history and say a word about its historical history, so to speak. We can glance briefly at its slumberous first epoch in a couple of short chapters, at its second and wider awake epoch in a couple more, at its flushest and widest awake epoch in a good many succeeding chapters, and then talk about its comparatively tranquil present epoch in what shall be left of the book. The world and the books are so accustomed to use and overuse the word new in connection with our country that we early get and permanently retain the impression that there is nothing old about it. We do, of course, know that there are several comparatively old dates in American history, but the mere figures convey to our minds no just idea, no distinct realization of the stretch of time which they represent. To say that De Soto, the first white man who ever saw the Mississippi River, saw it in 1542, is a remark which states a fact without interpreting it. It is something like giving the dimensions of a sunset by astronomical measurements and cataloging the colors by their scientific names. As a result, you get the bald fact of the sunset, but you don't see the sunset. It would have been better to paint a picture of it. The date, 1542, standing by itself, means little or nothing to us. But when one groups a few